and ask God that he would pour out his spirit and bless. Pray with me if you would. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, Lord, to call upon your name. And Lord, we ask you, God, that you would anoint the message of this hour. Anoint your word, send it forth. Accomplish that wherein you have sent it for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and amen, and amen. In the Word of God, in Philippians in the 3rd chapter and in verse 10, I want to minister for a few moments on the thought, the fellowship of his suffering. Now here it says in Paul's writings in this 10th verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, verse 16, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. Thank God for his word. Now Paul here gives us an understanding that he wanted to have an understanding of this suffering wherein Christ had suffered, wherein he had gave his life, wherein that he had paid the price, and he was the propitiation for sin. Paul wanted this understanding to know about this suffering. He wanted to know him. He wanted to know the power of his resurrection. There's a lot of people in the world. I was talking to a man the other day, and I asked him, you know, about Jesus Christ, and he said, well, he was a prophet, he was a teacher, and he went on to say many, many things about him. But I could tell that man did not know him in the power of his resurrection. We did not know and did not understand the understanding of the Word of God, wherein that Christ had gave his life, and that he was the only way, the only door. He was the plan of God wherein man could come to God. And when that veil, when the temple was rent, then we had direct access through Jesus Christ to the Father. And we'll touch on that a little more as we minister in this message. In 1 Peter, in the 4th chapter and in verse 13, it goes on to say, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. Here again, Peter mentions Christ's suffering and being partakers of it. According to the Word of God, if we're going to rule and reign with him, we're going to have to suffer with him. I like somebody here to minister say many, many years ago, if there's no fight, then there's no victory. And I'm going to tell you something. We have a fight out of the devil. When you believe the truth, see, a lot of folks have compromised and they no longer believe the truth. A lot of churches no longer stand for the truth. A lot of preachers no longer preach the truth. And the devil will come and help them fill their pews. The devil will help them have finances. I'm going to tell you something. But when you begin to preach the truth of God's word and tell men they have to come out of their sins, be separated from their sins, they have to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they have to be a changed creature, then the devil's going to fight you. And that's a lot of the suffering that we go through. We suffer and we're persecuted. He said, Jesus said, know this, that they hated me before they hated you. And the reason they hate you is because, amen, that we love him and we love Christ. And for that reason, that's the reason the world hates us. You look at the political understanding. Almost, it's sad to say, but almost anybody wins a political office has to stand on a liberal campaign. They have to say that same-sex marriage is okay. Rights for the gay is okay. They have to believe in abortion. And all the elections in the last few years have all leaned towards liberals, people that do not profess the truth of God. We have a government that no longer allows prayer in the name of Jesus, but they allow the Muslims to stop the court, what's going on in our nation's capital 5 times a day. They stop and pray to Allah. I'm telling you, amen, you're going to suffer for Christ's sake. You're going to suffer. And let me tell you something, you're going to be persecuted. What was it in the news the other day that somebody had just had executed because they watched some Christian films? A multitude of them was executed in this one country because that they watched religious things. I'm telling you something. We in America, we don't know how good we've had it. But I'm going to tell you something. When we put these liberals to run in our country and we put men that don't pray in the name of Jesus, we put men that have no understanding the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to begin to suffer. Amen. And this country is going to pay for the things that they're doing. Amen. Now, according to the word of God, in verse 14 of that fourth chapter of 1 Peter, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. Now he's telling us, we're going to suffer. Peter said, we're going to suffer. Suffer for Christ's sake. Not as a murderer, not as a thief, not as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end of those that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? A multitude of understanding in those verses allows us to know that when we suffer for Christ, that's pleasing to God. But when we suffer in these other things, that's disrespect, and that's no place for a Christian. A Christian, we need to not let our good be evil spoken of. We need to walk in the understanding of the gospel. And if we do, yes, they're going to rise up against us. They're going to try to persecute us. But listen to the word of God. The word of God so tells us and so makes it so clear that every weapons formed against us is not going to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us, that is going to be put to silent because of our righteousness in God. People are going to look at it and say, I know that person. They're a good person. I know that person. They're a God-fearing person. Amen. Then in there again in 1 Peter, still in 1 Peter, right on over in the 5th chapter, in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exalt, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Amen. See, when we suffer with them, we're going to be a partaker of that glory that's going to be revealed. And he said, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. We are to preach this gospel, not that we're forced to. We must willingly preach this gospel, and not for filthy lucre, not for the pay, but the fact that God called us and there's a message needs to be preached. Neither as being Lord over God hurts, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I'm going to tell you something. What a day it's going to be when the Lord comes for his church. We'll put aside all suffering, all pain, all sorrow, all sickness. All things will be put aside, and we'll walk in the fullness of his power and his anointing. Then in Romans, the 8th chapter, and in verse 17th of that 8th chapter, here it kind of puts the icing on the cake when it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Understand that which when Jesus died on Calvary, then according to the understanding wherein God had set this forth in motion, then we received as a joint heir with Jesus Christ to all that God had promised. And that's what makes us joint heirs with Christ and heirs of God. Verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. In other words, today, what God is going to have in store for us, what is going to be revealed to us when we cross over into that fair land wherein God has promised us. He says it has no comparison. What does the songwriter pen? The words, one glimpse of him will make the things and the toils of this life, they'll grow strangely dim in the countenance of his love and in his light. I'm glad today that what we've got in store for us, we won't even think at all about what we've had to go through. When we're going through the battle, and we're going through the fight, and we're going through the trial, yes, there's some hard times, but we got to stop and remember Christ went through even more as he went to Calvary, and he's died on Calvary for you and I, as he suffered the agony. And I've said this a many times, and I'll say it again. You and I, if they put you and I on a cross, and nail our hands and feet. There's nothing we could do about it. The thing about Christ, he had the authority to have called 10,000 angels. He had the authority to say, Father, this is too much. I'm not doing it. I'm not going this direction. But thank God, he went a little further. And thank God, he died instead. And he went through the suffering and the anguish, and they mocked him and all the things that they done to him. But I'm telling you something. We can understand he did it because he loved us. Calvary is all about love. The cross is all about love. No greater love, the writer said, that has any man that would lay down his life for another. No greater love. So that's the reason it's clear to see that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to that which shall be revealed. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also should be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole, and I always like this verse right here. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. For not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray. For as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession of the saints according to the will of God. And then that golden verse in the 28th verse of that chapter. And we know that all things work together for the good unto them that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. Our battles we going through is just making us stronger. Our sufferings that we going through is just making us stronger and more determined. I was thinking today, and I've said this before, there's a lot of things. I would never give up on God. I'm not talking about that. But there's a lot of things that I maybe would have given up on doing. But if the devil rose his head and went to fighting and went to battling, I become the more determined to go on through with it. Amen. Because I know what he's promised. And I know that if we suffer with him, we are going to rule and reign with him. For 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter during that 1,000-year millennial reign. And many of us will be made leaders over cities and nations. And in that day, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess. In that day, we'll be in charge. Thank God for that day. Thank God for that day. Now it seems like the Christian is pushed to the side and seem like they're laughed at and mocked and made fun of. But in that day, we'll rule and reign with him. For our suffering, it don't even begin to compare what he's got in store for us. For in that city, no more pain, sorrow, sickness, or former things. We'll be home. We'll sing that song, home at last, home at last. And we'll know what it is to receive the blessings of God. We'll have a crown upon our head. We'll have a robe of pure white. And we won't even think about what we've had to go through to get there. The Bible did say, he that endureth the end, the same shall be saved. It is an endurance race. It is a battle. It is a fight. You know, Paul used to talk about, and he talked about in the Word of God, and when I was a young Christian, but I just didn't know about it. I mean, I really didn't know what he meant when he said, I fought a good fight and I've kept the faith. Amen. I thought to myself, a good fight. I don't know what could be good about a fight. Usually somebody gets scuffed up or their nose bloodied or they get a knot on their head or get something. And I thought to myself, what could be good about that? But the good part of it is we're winners. I read the book. I read the last chapter. We win. Amen. When all the toils of life are done, we go to be with him. And we receive the promises of his word. But we need to be knowledgeable in the understanding of the word. We need to be knowledgeable to the understanding that we have the keys to the kingdom. We have power to loose. We have power to bind. We have authority. We have all authority in the name of Jesus. And yes, the more authority we take, the more Satan's going to come at us. But we win. When the last battle's fought, we win. During that time when Satan is bound for that 1,000 years and he's loose for that season, he'll come again trying to destroy and try to destroy the kingdom of God. But he won't win because we win. Then he'll be thrown in that bottomless pit. The Bible refers to it as the second death. But we, the saint of God that has suffered with Christ, we have been persecuted for his namesake. We'll hear him say, enter into the glory of the Lord, that which I have prepared for you. That's what's to be revealed to us. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither is entered in the heart of man what God has got in store for. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But it's so. It's the truth. And we get to rule and reign with him. And the glory of God shall be fully revealed to us. We'll have no more battle. No more persecutions. No more trials. And no more suffering. We need not get bogged down in our sufferings. We need not get bogged down in our trials and our battles. Because you look at yourself and look how much stronger you are today than the battles of yesterday where you went through. When we first started serving God, we didn't know for sure what all he could do. But now we've walked with him. Now we've served him. We've seen what God can do. And as the songwriter penned the words, he'll be enough. He'll be enough for me. He'll be enough for you in every battle you got to go through with. And there's no temptation taking you but that which is common to man. And with the temptation, he's going to make a way of escape. He's going to give you the strength to bear it. You're going to come out more strong and more victorious than ever. You're going to come out walking on top. You're going to come out shouting the victory. Amen. I can't wait till we see what all God does through the worship center here. Why? Because it's been a fight from the devil. Fast as we get one hurdle took care of, there's another waiting. Because the devil thinks he can stop us. But I read the book. He ain't got nothing to stop us with. He just comes as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He's just making a lot of racket. He's just making a lot of roaring. But he has no teeth to bite you with. He might gum around on you a little bit, but he can't bite you. And we have to have that in our inner being, in our spirit. We have to be fully persuaded, mind made up, sold out to the cause. I'm going through because a crown waits for me. And at the end of this battle, end of my suffering, the fullness of his glory is going to be revealed to me. And I'm going to keep shouting the victory. I'm going to keep fighting the good fight of faith. And I'm going to receive my crown. That's the promise of the word. Lord, we thank you this day for your word. And God, we thank you, Lord, that we have become joint heirs with Christ Jesus through the fellowship of the suffering that wherein Paul spoke of. And God, now we've suffered for a season. Then God, just in the sweet by and by, your full glory is going to be revealed to each one of us that's fought the good fight of faith, that's finished the course. And as Paul declared, there was a crown laid up for him. But not only for him, but all those that are looking for his appearing. There is in love with him and his appearing. Lord, we thank you for that crown. We thank you for the victory. We thank you, God, we got the power through Christ to overcome. God, thank you for the message of truth in your word. God, heal to the uttermost. Let this message go to whatever end it may go, that men and women may understand the cross. They may understand the suffering and the fellowship of it. And they may understand that King Jesus is coming back to get his church. Let them forevermore be ready. Let them call upon your name. Let them cry out to you in Jesus' name. Amen.